In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Our gospel reading today opens with Jesus asking a question of his disciples. In a time long before social media, he has no other way of gauging what the people are thinking about him. And so he wants to know, after all the people have seen and heard, just who do they think Jesus is? And more importantly, who do his closest friends and disciples think he is? Now, none of those in the crowds whom the disciples polled on who Jesus is get it right. They're all over the place, guessing dead guys who apparently have come back to life. John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah, or maybe some other long dead prophet. Of course, they have not had the privilege of spending as much time with Jesus as the disciples have, and some have only witnessed things from a distance. So you can understand that they might really have no idea who Jesus really is. But even for Jesus's closest friends and followers, it had to be a difficult question to answer. Jesus, like many public figures, seems to go from very high to very low places in a very short period of time. Prior to where our gospel reading starts, Jesus has been healing all kinds of people, lepers, the blind and mute, the paralytic, Peter's mom sick with a fever, just to name a few. And he was teaching things people had never heard before about the kingdom of God and who was in and who might have to rethink their position. Things that amazed the people and gave them hope. And then he walked on water and fed two large crowds of people, one of 5,000 and one a little less famous, a story only told in Mark and Matthew, but nonetheless impressive, of 4,000. Amazing and astonishing feats. But then, just recently, he was very publicly made to face his own prejudices and taught a lesson on what his ministry is truly all about by a Canaanite woman. And he has been very publicly challenged several times by leaders of the Jewish community, the Pharisees and Sadducees. So, who exactly is this guy? Only Peter seems to know. When Jesus says, "But who do you say I am?" Peter blurts out in what has become known as Peter's confession, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." But Jesus doesn't for a minute think that Peter has figured this out all on his own. Jesus's response to Peter's proclamation is, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Jesus knows that God has revealed this to Peter in some wonderful and mysterious way. And how do we know that Jesus is in fact right about Peter and God? Because in the reading that we will have next week, we will hear that Peter, now working from a very human perspective, gets it so wrong about what he has just said, about what that really means. He doesn't yet understand what it means for Jesus to be the Son of the living God. But let's not go there just yet. Because yes, Peter will in just a moment, or for us next week, get it wrong. And he'll do so over and over. And at one point, he will mess up big time. In this moment, though, God was at work in Peter. And that is always cause for celebration and thanksgiving. So let's just stay with the wonderful way that God was at work in Peter, even if for just this moment, and give thanks for it. Give thanks for the way God used an ordinary, flawed, uneducated, simple man to confess that Jesus is indeed God's Son. It's the first time these words have been uttered by anyone in Matthew's gospel. And let's also give thanks for all the ways God works in us and through us, if only for a moment. There is so much going on in the world right now that needs our effort and attention and work and passion and commitment. We are being called in our individual lives and as the church to confess Christ, to answer the question, who is Jesus? Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ who sides always with the vulnerable in word and action, and for us to do likewise. And at the same time, we know that there is so much more to do than we seem able to do, and that even our best efforts and most heartfelt attempts will fall short, not living as deeply or truly into our confession as we should. And at times like Peter, getting confused or scared about what that confession of who Jesus is means. But there are moments when we confess, when we do something right, when we sense more of God's purpose than we had before, when things just seem to come together, if only briefly, when we feel God's Spirit at work in us and among us. And at those moments, it is good to pause and give thanks. We have much to give thanks for, things to celebrate, places to recognize God's hand in, purpose, Spirit. Like our community garden that's been providing fresh vegetables to people who are food insecure by getting that produce to Hands on Hartford this summer. And like our knitting ministry, who still has been providing shawls to people going through chemotherapy and radiation and in the hospitals all summer long. And people who have been contributing every week or monthly to the interfaith feeding program that's provided over $32,000 to help families feed their children since schools closed last spring in Glastonbury. Carol's Closet, getting those needed items each month to people who have such limited means to purchase them. Heads Up Hartford went virtual this year, yet still gave our youth a chance to experience and share God's love. Our Sunday Bible study, which keeps us connected to one another and helps us to go more deeply into our understanding of Scripture. Lunch in the Park, that provided a meal to people who struggle to stay fed each day. Our parishioners who make phone calls, checking on one another, still all these months, listening to fears and anxieties and hopes and joys. Our lay preachers who have been sharing their reflections on our Bible passages this summer, challenging and inspiring us. Folks who read and lead prayers each week, adding different voices to our liturgy. Our singers and musicians helping us to lift our voices in song as we praise God on Sunday. All this and much more has been happening all summer long. Moments of insight, creativity, and at times divinely inspired confessions of who Jesus is by actions taken, gifts offered, love shown. And certainly we should stop and give thanks and celebrate the way that God is present with us and in us. Now, this is not to overlook all that still needs to be done, the important issues of the day, the importance of our confession of who we know Jesus to be in action as well as words, or the many who need us to stand up for them and those who need us to stand with them more boldly than ever before. But this is to say, that the living God is at work in our church, even now, in the middle of a pandemic, and in each of our lives. And if we can't sense and celebrate and give thanks for God being present, even in small things, how are we ever going to claim God's power and presence in larger things? Gratitude is a powerful thing. Or perhaps more accurately, gratitude is an empowering thing. And today's reading gives us a chance to give thanks that we might be open to what God will do with us and for us and through us next. Amen.